Continue with the story of the giving of the Torah. And Rav Mordechai Kamenetsky points out that this was the greatest event in the history of the world forever. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to an entire nation, and we're told as well to all of the neshamos that will exist in giving them the Torah. And we also know that only Yahadus, Judaism, is a religion that was given to everyone. And they've asked this question many times in Mefarshim: how do we know that what we do is true? Okay? And so the question is asked by many, I think including Eshet Torah in their discovery program. They asked the question, okay, how many people saw Jesus walk on water? Him and a colleague? How many guys saw the guy who found the magic glasses and found a religion? Every other so-called revelation was a private affair. However, Matan Torah was the most announced event in the history of the world. Everyone in the world knew what was happening, right? Even though they say that Klal Yisroel saw the voices, whatever that means, how do you see a voice? But everyone in the world heard the tumult. And we're told by a Chazal, they all ran to Bilam and said, what's going on? And he said, God's giving the Torah. But more than that, we're told the Torah was given to what? At least 600,000 men, probably 3 million people. And we know that every Yid has the same Masorah that this happened, which means that of the 3 million Jews who were at Sinai, none of them denied it. They told their children, and their children did their children. Now, outside of those elements of Judaism that didn't want to keep the Torah for inconvenience or other reasons, okay, what are the odds that 3 million people would accept a reality and pass it down? What are the odds that people, especially the Jewish people, would, quote, permeate a lie for generations? In other words, Moshe's Doyer would lie to their children would lie to their children, etc. And you would have a number of generations that were actually there. So let's say up to three generations were at Sinai. Did everybody lie to the fourth generation or the fifth generation? And especially Jewish people, who for every two people you could have three or more opinions. Hello? Can somebody basically quiet down or mute?
How was your sound? Nice. Familiar sound.
To mute conference participants, press 1. To mute, all participants are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Okay. Somebody there likes to pick up surface noise. So we know that it's the most important event. And we also know that Torah was not given exclusively to Klal Yisroel. While the people who were there were basically Klal Yisroel, they say every neshama was there. That indicates that even the neshamos of future Geirim, who were told the Kadosh Baruch Hu placed first into other nations and would find their way back, they too were at Har Sinai. Right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, right, the entire world is mine. And the question is, right, what does this mean, the entire world is mine? And Rabbi Rav Kamenetsky points out, that's why I can decide what is a treasured item. I can define what is herring. He says, if one is locked in his apartment and doesn't see his world, he says his treasures can be relegated to schnapps, crackers, and schmaltz herring. And for some Yidden, unfortunately, their tradition is the matzah ball and the schmaltz herring and the liver. Right? He says, however, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is not what I am teaching you. The revelation I am giving to all the Jewish people is, I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, created the world. I allowed or I created every culture that exists to be here. I own all the gold, I own all the diamonds, and I own every invention that will ever occur. And I am giving you testimony that there is nothing greater in all of creation, in all of existence, than Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is almost telling Klal Yisroel, I can tell you what it's all about. I know every taste and every nuance of anything that will ever exist. I can, if I as a Kodesh Baruch can have whatever I want, and I am telling you that what I want primarily for Klal Yisroel is Torah and mitzvos. And he says, Torah is a treasure, and you who will keep the Torah are a treasure of treasures. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah in such a public way that everyone would see it as it happened. We know that there's two sides to the Luchos, the Aseres HaDibros, five on the right, five on the left. The first five, we're told by Chazal, are primarily mitzvot ben Adam l'makom, between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the second five are mitzvot ben Adam l'chavero, the laws, the interpersonal halachos, or the beginning of them. Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch says, the mitzvot between man and God begin with intellectual concepts. We start with theory more than practice. I am a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You shouldn't have any other deities besides me. But then they progress to mitzvot that actually involve concrete action. Remember Shabbos, Shomer V'Zachar, Kabedes Avicha V'Esimecha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his mitzvot that are called the ones that are more germane to our relationship with the Rabboni Shel Olam, climax in action. He says, turn to the other side of the Luchos. When we go to mitzvot between man and his fellow, right, and his contemporaries, we go the other way. The first commandments require positive commandments. Lo tirsach, do not murder. Lo signof, do not kidnap. Lo sinof, do not commit adultery. And then we move to the mitzvahs of Sot. Do not be jealous. He says, with the Kaddish Baruch Hu's, the relationship, the service, we can start on a high level, appreciating what a Kaddish Baruch Hu is, and bring it down and bring it into action. However, when it comes to dealing with other people, if we don't act, we in effect don't think. We've got to act appropriately, and only if those actions are done in a proper method can we reach the level where we will not covet, we will not be jealous. And as Avraham Shmuel Hirsch says, stop and give thought for a moment. Mitzvot between man and his fellow man must develop from a world of action and internalize to become part of the world of thought and emotion. Mitzvot that depend upon our interaction with the Rabbona Shalom first have to, he says, evolve from lofty principles, from great thoughts and great realizations and emotions, and only then can we take action. When we've basically been inspired by what a Kaddish Baruch Hu wants, then we can take action. In other words, our actions can't be helter-skelter, as probably all those groups that have sprinkled off from Yiddishkeit have wanted to do. You know, the Sumerians, the Kusis, in our days, the Reform Jews with their Pittsburgh Convention and with their Berlin is the New Jerusalem. Right? They started from the perspective of what does man want, not what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want. Okay. Excuse me. Second. We're told that at Har Sinai, we have this tremendous revelation where there are sounds and where they are seen, where there are visions of thunder and lightning, and the people realize that they're about to hear the voice of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And when they hear a Kaddish Baruch Hu's voice, which is what they wanted, they basically expire. They can't take it. And therefore, they ask Moshe to be the intermediary for the last of the eight Dibros. I need a moment, so please bear with me. It's going to change locales. Coming back in a second. When a Kaddish Baruch Hu heard Jewish people say Na'aseh V'nishma, a Kaddish Baruch Hu was then willing to make Crawl Your Crawl perfect, both in body and in thought. Everybody saw, it says, the voices and the sounds. There was nobody blind. There was nobody lame. And the same way I could have, the same way that they were whole in body, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was prepared to grant them the ability to go to Eretz Yisrael and to have Moshe Rabbeinu welcome Moshiach, and Tchiyas HaMeisim would have been at hand. That was the master plan. Unfortunately, we know that the Egel was the impediment. Came to the right. And you are my children, Hashem said. You are now free from any physical or any spiritual harm. And we're told that the Malach HaMavos had a complaint. I'm out of business. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, I will still give you the power to operate over the other nations in existence. All of the other 69 or 70 nations. And then the Malach HaMavos said, okay, that's a good deal, but I know as well as you, there will be those people who will leave the nations and will become Gerim. Maybe they'll all go that way. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu reassured the Malach HaMavos. When they rejected the Torah en masse, when I offered it to Yishmael as a nation, when I offered it to Esav as a nation, and they said no, that was a forever and an irrevocable statement. All that would ever happen is that there will be people who will join Klal Yisrael, because in each of those nations, even though the leadership said no, there were those individuals who were prepared to accept the Torah. That is how the Gerim will originate. On the fifth day, the Jewish people approached Har Sinai. Moshe gave them the procession to follow. Moshe led, then Aaron, then Nadav Yavihu, and then the 70 elders. The population at large were required to remain 2,000 cubits, amos, away from Har Sinai. Moshe went up to the top of the mountain. Aaron stopped halfway up the mountain. Nadav Avihu stayed at the very foot of Har Sinai. And the Zakenim were a short distance away. And then the people, who were 2,000 amos away. Jewish people who had said Naseh V'Nishma were now being given the opportunity to perceive the Shekhinah. Every individual, based on their own spiritual level, had their own perception of Shekhinah. Moshe, at the highest level, had the clearest perception. Others, go straight. Others had a murkier type of perception. For some, it was a thin haze, which they saw through. For some, it was a thicker fog. And for some, it was probably like the Anone HaKaveh, as if the clouds of glory were some way hiding the perception of the Shekhinah. However, Chazal tell us, no matter how the individual perceived, everyone had a perception of the Kisei HaKavod. They all realized that there is this throne, so to speak, in heaven, made out of sapphire rock and some sort of bricks. This was a lesson in Hashem's compassion for the people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed them that that which they endured in Mitzrayim and having to have built so much, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took these bricks, so to speak, and put them in Shemayim, right under his domain. They tell a story here in Chazal of a pregnant woman who was in labor and she miscarried. It says this fetus fell into the liquefied mortar and the mother's cry permeated the heaven. The Malach Michael took the brick and he put it under the Kisei HaKavod. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever it means, has constant awareness of this when he deals with Klal Yisroel. People reached certain levels of Nevuah from this experience. There were, however, as in every group, certain people who were on a level of being unworthy and who, while they were restrained as to what they were giving perception of, somehow went beyond the limit. Now, I can't comprehend how an individual can go beyond what they're supposed to do at this moment. But Chazal tell us it happened. And it says that these people had awareness of ruchni, spiritual matters, that was beyond their ability to withstand, to, I guess, process. And this had a bad effect on them. Something like a glutton getting greater arrogance, conceit, etc. And it says in Chazal that this act of insubordination, when they were told what their level was, should have led to instant demise of the people. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to have any misa occur at this time. And somehow, this Chazal says that Nadav and Avihu were among the people who went beyond their supposed limit, and that's one of the reasons why they eventually, at the time of the consecration of the Mikdash, again went beyond their limits and paid for it with their souls being burned. We're told that this was on day 5, and we know that the Torah was given on the 6th day. Chazal tell us that this seemed to be the very completion of all the preparatory matters needed for Kabbalah Satoira. This experience was one that put them on the level that they would be ready for when the great day came. Day 6, the day of giving the Torah, is the day Chazal tell us is when the bris, the covenant, between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael was formalized. This is when Klal Yisrael became the Am Hashem, the nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even the Malachim in Shemayim, Kaviyochol, bowed to the Jews, and we're told somehow they put crowns on the head of every Yid, one for Nasa and one for Nishma. After 26 generations had come and gone, the Torah, which was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's blueprint in creating the world, could now come down Mishamayim and be something that could be studied and kept by the masses. This was one of, or maybe, the most important day in all of history. And we will pick up tomorrow with other aspects of this tremendous story. Okay. Everyone have a great day. I thank you for listening. Left. Go.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I was so busy doing my picking. I'm what's it calling it?
You would have yelled at me. Go ahead.
I know.
Okay, as long as you realize that.